Hi there, and welcome to Open Mic here on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks so much for being on the show.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
We love the opportunity to get to visit with you, and you guys had a fiscal court meeting a couple weeks ago, and I wanted to kind of go over some of the events that were talked about during the agenda item. First things first, great news from the Kentucky Transportation Cabinet.
It was.
What are they? Now, they're giving us money. I love when people give me money.
They are giving us money, and we applied for it. It's MMRC. You probably heard me talk about this before here. It's a multi-county park, and when the revenues from the tax, from property tax as well as occupational tax, when it's collected, it's split three ways, Morgan, Menifee, and Round. Although Round is the one that maintains the roads and keeps it blacktop and patches the potholes and scrapes it in the wintertime. So I thought that was a problem and has been a problem for some time. So I kind of combined it into a regional request from the state. Mm-hmm. And so the state came through, and Mr. Paul Looney, the Deputy Secretary of Transportation, came into fiscal court. He gave us some updates on some roads, 377 Cranston Road, that it was still on the books to be complete, and some widening of some studies to widen 801 to accommodate our new business, and 32 Christie Creek work, and some of those things. And when he finished up, he added that he had brought us $457,397 in discretionary funds that we'd applied for to do some resurfacing here in the county, and MMRC was one of them. Eagle Road was one of them, or Eagle Drive, Rock Fork Road, and Kegley Ridge Road. And so we had applied for nearly $500,000, and we come up just short of that. We got our request with the exception of about $30,000.
That's amazing.
It is.
It seems like, I mean, when you go looking for grant monies, or you go looking for fundage from any governmental agency, I feel like the obvious answer is usually no. So whenever they're coming in and saying, hey, we're going to give you $500,000 or almost $500,000, it's always a great news, because that's less that we have to pay as taxpayers to fix those roads, because the roads have got to be fixed.
They have to be fixed. And MMRC, it's the first shot that most of the time people coming in to start a business here is going to get. Mm-hmm. And if they have to dodge potholes in to look at the property that they want to relocate to, that's not a good sign. But I tell you, the state was excellent partners on this. They never hiccuped at all. They realized that it was economic development for not only for just Round County, but for the region. Mm-hmm. And they stepped up to the plate. And to be honest with you, if they hadn't, we'd have been talking about this next year that we needed to resurface that park, because we just couldn't afford it. It's that park alone is $285,000 project. Mm-hmm. And we just don't have it in our county budget.
Right. And with the growth and expansion that's happening in that 801 corridor right near that park, you've got to expect that there will be a lot of industry that's going to be locating that will look at the park first.
We certainly anticipate that. Mm-hmm. And we've got the growth in the park for that. And, of course, the sewer's coming along with that. And everything's kind of lining up now. So it's just a really, and I say it all the time, it's a really good time to be in Round County. It's always been a great time to be in Round County, but right. It just really shows now.
And speaking of growth, we have already, last time we talked about the new cooperage that opened up. They did the groundbreaking. We talked about construction beginning on the App Harvest greenhouse. And you just told me before we got started, we've got another new company coming in right in that area.
We do. And, for some folks, it won't be that exciting. It's a plant that will produce blacktop for us, asphalt. And they should be, we anticipate maybe a year to 18 months before they do it. They're going to do some research to determine which type of plant they want to put in. That benefits the county, and it kind of just puts competition really into the county. Competition's always good. Mm-hmm. I'm sure some other folks wouldn't agree with that right now, but it is. It's always good. And if they choose a batch plant, they can mix a much smaller quantity of blacktop, which up to, if we needed 4 ton, they would make that, and we could go out and patch some potholes in a a lot more frequent than we do now because we're dependent now. I think the plant will only open for 100 tons that we currently utilize.
Wow.
And so we kind of depend on when they can open that we get this. So it's a real benefit to the county, I think. And I think at the end of the day, it'll benefit everybody.
So like 4 tons of asphalt, for those of us who are completely ignorant of how it works, 4 tons of asphalt, you could do potholes on a couple miles of road, whereas 100 tons of asphalt, that's for like big paving projects,
yes,
like resurfacing.
It
projects.
Is. And that, you know, and they can't break even on their funding if they make less than 100 ton with the plant they have. They have the cleanup and all the stuff that's not utilized going through the plant. So it's understandable that they can't do anything less than 100.
Yeah,
it's
totally
not profitable for them. But a smaller plant, I don't know if it's any smaller, but it's capable of producing, I think he told me, like 300 ton a day. Or maybe that may be a small amount. It was all we would want, and anyone in the surrounding area would want. They currently sell to the state or on state pricing contract. So it's exciting for the road department to be able to go. 4 ton is exactly what we use in our blacktop hole patch, if you will. We heat it and resurface it, so we use 4 ton. That's what we start out with in a day, and so it works out good for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we're excited.
That way you can do more projects, really.
We certainly can.
Different options. Well, wonderful. And that'll mean a few more jobs out there on that 801 corridor in addition to what we've already anticipating coming in.
Up to about 20 jobs probably.
Which is great. So any, growth, it's so funny because people have been telling me for 5 years or so now, Round County is set to grow, Round County is set to grow. And I'm such a skeptic. I'm like, well, we'll see. I mean, I want to be hopeful,
yep,
but I'm, I don't want to get my hopes up too high. So it's really great to see all this wonderful stuff that's happening in the area. Now, getting back to our agenda items, you guys got an update from the TIF board, which has a lot to do with downtown, but it affects the county.
It does.
Quite a lot.
It affects, the county residents, the city residents. It's a tax that will be, it's an incremental financing is essentially what it is. And I think we went over that before, and I think everybody mm-hmm. understands what it is. But it's just an update. We're down to the part where we need all the pieces put together correctly. And so the board hired an outside attorney, Mr. Parsons, who's mm-hmm. Very familiar with TIF districts. He's worked numerous TIF districts throughout the state and some other states as well. So he came to the board, was selected to come to the board, and he now will be putting those pieces of the puzzle together that we can work with the developer and make sure that we have a clear understanding as what the expectations are from the developer as well as what the expectations are from the city and the county. And from what the taxpayers will have a clear understanding of where we're going and how we'll go forward with this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really good to see Mr. Parsons on board. I think he gives us that piece that we didn't have before. And the folks that put it together, they worked very hard at it, and they've got it to the point where realistically it's outside of their expertise, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So Mr. Parsons can pick it up from here and lead us on in the right direction, and we hope we should have a really good product at the end of the day.
Do we have any idea when people are going to actually start seeing things happen downtown with that project? I know that there's so many plans and people have talked about this this hotel that could be coming, but until we see like somebody starts pushing down, pushing up that parking lot or pushing down buildings, we kind of don't know when that's going to happen.
I think people get excited and you hear them talk about, maybe 6 months it'll happen, start. But I don't think that's realistic. At the last TIF board meeting we had, they had some property owners in. And the property owners essentially were asking some questions of when they would need to move if they agreed to sell. And it sounded like the developer, I would have said closer to maybe a year to 18 months before mm-hmm. we really start to see things happening. And I hope I'm wrong. I mean, it may be much sooner than that, but I don't think the developer really gave any real earlier time frame. It was more of a year to 18 months. And I think that's probably the right pace. Every time we run into something, we usually wish we hadn't.
Right.
And so I think we take our time, do it right. It'll get it right the first time, and then we'll be much happier for the outcome.
For the long run. Now, one of the things that you have discussed is a joint city-county tourism commission. And you had discussed at a couple city council meetings about possibly combining together. Where are we on that conversation?
Well, we've had that conversation several times, and it was kind of talked about favorable to begin with, and then it was kind of went unfavorable for a while.
Mm-hmm.
I've been working. I went to city council a couple times, and I briefed them on our what we think would work well for the city and the county. And so we're back on now. I think really we'll probably have a joint county city tourism. And it's now putting the little, just like the TIF, it's now putting the finer touches on our agreements, interlocal agreement, how it'll be collected, who will get the property, if so reason we split up down the road somewhere. But I think that the city council has decided that it is a very favorable for everyone. The sticking point was the control, who had the control. And I think we've worked through that by it'll be a joint appointment. Each member will be a joint appointment by the judge and the mayor. And so that will give us some control and some stability in the future. If I'm not reelected or choose not to run, or the mayor, vice versa, then one individual entity couldn't come in and wipe the board out or half of the board and take control of it. It would take the two sitting governments to do so. Really, it's a better system than they have now.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be a 7-member board. It would be people from the county as well as the city representing different entities. It'd be hotel, restaurants, the folks that really are involved in what benefits from tourism. And so I think it'll work out well, and I think we're headed in the right direction. It's just a matter of getting the T's where we want them and the I's in dotted right, and I think we'll move forward with it.
Right.
And it's exciting because it will bring a lot more to the table for both city and county.
One question that I had is there was a lot of discussion, you know, the tourism is run through restaurant tax and the hotel motel tax. When it was discussed, somebody said, well, in the county, we won't do the restaurant tax. Does that mean if it's joint, there won't be a restaurant tax anymore at all? Or does it just mean only in the county?
Only in the county, you won't have a restaurant tax. And that's by Kentucky statute. You can't, a county tourism or joint tourism board cannot tax restaurants outside the city limits. It can only be done inside the city limits.
That's interesting that it's so different.
Yeah. And I'm sure when they devised it, probably somebody really knew the answer to that. And mm-hmm. and it probably makes sense. I really never thought it through.
I don't see how it makes sense.
Well, it doesn't to me, but I'm sure when they did it, it probably did make sense to everybody. Actually, the restaurant tax is more, it's more for convention centers to repay the convention center. So like the conference center is tied to the restaurant tax, nothing to do with the room tax. It's just
right.
tied to the to that. So the tax inside the city kind of restaurant does kind of make sense because that's where the conference center is located.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that was the kind of line of thinking they were doing, or maybe it was just they just didn't think it through, and that's how we ended up with it, and it's a law now. So
right. It worked at the time, but maybe
yeah.
it's never been revisited,
right.
but it might not need to be. I'm sure it makes perfect sense to someone.
Somebody.
And on that note, we're going to take a quick break here on Open Mic. We'll be right back after this.
Our history has always been, as messengers, we deliver the news. We educate people while they enjoy the beat.
After 60 years of making music, the OJs have created their final album. I'm Patty Jackson. Join me for an hour of wisdom and news, or as the OJs call it, the last word.
July 4th at 7 p.m. on Morehead State Public Radio.
And we're back here on Open Mic here at Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Leanne Akers, and today we're visiting with Rowan County Judge Executive Harry Clark. Harry, thanks again for being here. We are talking about the fiscal court meeting and going through the agenda items. You guys decided to establish a committee for the Kentucky Wired Project. Now, for those not familiar with the project, that's a broadband implementation project that's supposed to get high-speed internet across the state through working with that's state-funded and funded partially through the different municipalities and county governments and things. There's some people who are very skeptical that this is one of those things that's supposed to happen and not gonna ever happen. It seems like the the timeline keeps getting pushed back and pushed back. So I'm really interested to hear what you guys had to talk about with this particular project.
Kentucky Wired is actually, it's a state-funded project, and it's funded from the state. It brings high-speed internet into the county and state government buildings into the county and the city. And then anything outside of that would have to be funded by a different source.
Right.
So I think what the misnomer is, you know, if you live up in the head of Dry Branch, in the head of a holler, you're not going to get high-speed internet. You know, just it's just not feasible to run that wiring or whatever it is they use to optics to get to the high-speed internet to that single house up in the head of the holler. But what it does provide, it brings it into the region. Now, maybe Windstream, maybe Spectrum, maybe Mountain Rural Telephone. Mountain Rural Telephone actually in the three counties now already has that service. They have high-speed, what's really high-speed internet. But it allows a third company or a company to step up and say, hey, we want to provide this up in the head of that holler or ever how they decide to do it. There's different ways of doing it. But I think the project, it's like everything else, you know, they threw a lot of money at it to begin with, and then they didn't throw enough money at it apparently. So it was on a slow go, but it is making progress. I think it will be here eventually. I think the last setback was the squirrels ate the wires in two.
Oh, goodness.
That was last week. They asked for another $140 million to repair the damaged wire that squirrels ate. And I'm not making this up, Lee.
This is what happened to my parents' car. Yeah. You know, the squirrels ate the wiring harness, but you don't think about these huge state-funded projects that something like that can totally put you back $140 million, like $140 maybe, but $140 million, that's insane.
$140 million is what they went back and asked for the squirrel damage, if you will. So it's just been one delay.
Boy.
Eventually it will get here. Mm-hmm. It really will. And I think, you know, they've got some already this week they ran some of the optics from the pole inside the courthouse. So it's coming.
Very cool.
It's just not going to get there as quick as we want. And they call it the last mile. Somebody's going to have to step up, do the last mile, and that could be Windstream, Spectrum. Could be nobody. I mean, nobody. Right. It may not be profitable enough for anybody to send it up to the head of the holler like I was talking about.
Well, patience is not one of my virtues, but I'm trying. Yeah. I'm trying.
Well, we all have to work on that, I think, Leanne.
Well, we've got just a few minutes left, and I did want to move along and talk about a couple other things. You guys discussed a couple things that have to do with the jail, the county jail here, which is still relatively new. You've got a new contract with Montgomery County, and that's going to bring in inmates from there that will be housed here?
Possibly bring inmates from Montgomery County. Now, Montgomery County has a jail.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought they did.
They do, but, you know, the crime hasn't stopped. I'll give you an example. You know, the last time we were here, we had about 280 inmates, and I was wanting to go to 300.
Right.
Just so we could see where jail would be as far as bringing in enough revenue to not pay for itself, but at least offset some of the cost. Well, this morning, it's 326 inmates.
Oh, my goodness.
So, you know, it fluctuates. That's probably about where we're going to stay. We're going to stay around the 300 range. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. The other jails are having problems with manpower. I just read an article where Lexington is having a tough time with their manpower. The people are not wanting to work.
It's hard to train people, and then it has to be a difficult working environment anyway. I mean, I think it would be difficult to work in there.
Well, I mean, I won't say you're dealing with the worst in society, but you are dealing it with the folks that are at their worst at the time.
Yeah, they're having their worst day.
They are.
That day.
And so you're dealing with those folks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's, you know, I talked to the jailer, Wes Coldiron, the jailer, came in the office yesterday. We had a long, good conversation. You know, we're trying to get us an inmate transport vehicle put together, and him and I have been working on that project, and it looks like we're about to finish it up. But, you know, this jail, it's just a difficult thing for all of the counties to deal with. It's a very expensive project, and it's money you're just throwing away that, you know, that it would be so much better if we were spending it on blacktop or something else, rehabilitation or something, but you got to do the incarceration.
Yeah, and that's tough on everybody. That's tough on the people who are in there, the people who work with them, and the families that are affected by having those people incarcerated right here in the county. One of the other things that you guys did talk about was that transport vehicle. Where are we in that system? Are we going to get one?
What are we?
Is it a bus? What are we looking at?
It's going to be a van.
Okay.
It's like the American Pickers use. Okay, that's everybody knows what they use. And they've got a box. That's essentially a box, and you order a cargo van, which I have on order,
mm-hmm.
and you can just slide this box in. And it's divided into different compartments and has air conditioning and all that stuff. And it has a place that you can cuff them, put their storage in. And then what's the beauty of this, it costs a little bit more on the front end. But when you wear the vehicle out that it's in, you slide it out.
You bring a new truck in
and you slide the box in.
Interesting.
And it's, initially it's a little more investment, but it'll work out much better down the road.
That's fascinating. I never knew that you could, like, retrofit, like, just slide the box out, slide it back in.
Well, we do our ambulances that way. We bought boxes that you can literally take the box off the ambulance
mm-hmm.
and then put a new chassis and put the new box on, or the old box on. So it saves us about $60,000 every time we purchase a new ambulance.
I had no idea we were doing that.
Yep.
But you guys actually talked about the ambulance service and at your meeting, and that was the last thing. We've got a couple more minutes on the show, and I wanted to touch base on that because I recently read an article where there was an ambulance service that was the only one in a county in Kentucky, and they're leaving. And to me, that's just, I mean, I see ambulances on the road here in Moorhead. We're not that big, but in downtown Moorhead, I see them constantly.
Right.
So I can't even imagine if a community were to lose an ambulance service, but that's not a problem that we're looking at here.
I can assure the people of Round County, we're in good shape in the ambulance service. You know, we will take care of the emergency services before we patch that pothole in front of your house that you keep yelling about. So, you know, we're going to take care of those things. And we're not, we are really in good shape in ambulances. We've got a plan to purchase new ambulances as we go. We unfortunately had to raise the rates. I talked about that one of the times mm-hmm. here on the show.
Yep.
We had to raise the rates because the cost of operating came up. But people are understanding that we will be willing to pay for that service rather than not have it when we need it. And some of our surrounding counties are in very bad shape in the ambulance service. Some of those are taxing districts, or they're getting money from taxes to keep the services up. We're fortunate. We got a great ambulance director, Danny Blevins.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an excellent staff in the ambulance service. We got folks that when they come and see you on your worst day, you know, they're on their best day. They're on their game. And I'm really proud of the ambulance service. But we are in no way anywhere close to the shape of some of our surrounding counties in ambulance service. We're in good shape. If you need them, you call them and they'll be there.
It's a good time to live in Round County, it seems. We all have all these great news things that are happening when we get together. It's kind of like, okay, where's the other shoe that's about to drop? Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about that we've got coming up in the community that people should know about?
Laughlin Building. We're going to talk about, I think the 8th of July, we'll have the if we call it a grand opening. It's
mm-hmm.
It's been a work in process. I'll have to say that Matt Hamilton, the Parks Director, has really put a shine on that old building. And if folks hadn't had an opportunity to go up and look, really please do. And it's going to service all the ages. He's very innovative. We've got batting cages and some of those things up there.
That's exciting.
It is. And, you know, the ball players love it. You know, you can go in there when it's raining. You can do the batting cages. It's in the old racquetball courts.
Perfect.
He's got some other set up for some older, older folks' games like me maybe. but we'll eventually get up where you can walk,
mm-hmm.
Come in early and walk, or anytime you can walk, I hope. But it's exciting, and I think it's really going to prove that we need that, and I think it'll prove itself that it's something that's worth investing in.
Well, I'm already seeing people talk about their classes that they're going to be having in there on social media. So I know that there are already people who are interested. There's already people going in there and utilizing that facility. So it's exciting to see what all is going to happen down there with our community.
It is. And it's just exciting time around county. We've got a Freedom Fest coming up here soon.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a little cookout for the county city employees, a joint cookout for the county city employees. It's not at the taxpayer's expense. I need to get that up front. myself, the mayor, and some of the other elected officials will be the magistrates and city council will be paying for that. And we just want to show the employees of the county and the city that we're always thinking of them and we appreciate what they do. It's a very small amount that we can do for them. But it allows us time to intermingle and talk. So it's exciting to be in Round County.
Absolutely.
We love it here.
And that's all the time we have here on Open Mic. Judge Executive Harry Clark, thanks again for being on the show. I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you very much, Leanne, for having us. And once again, it's a great platform for the public.
And we'll see you all next Friday.